Thank you for being here again today. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 42, please. Psalm chapter 42. I don't know when that I have had the Lord speak to my heart and at the same time was dealing with my heart concerning the message. It seemed like so many faces passed before my heart and my mind. I've just thought about people and circumstances and things that are going on as the Lord spoke to my heart about this message. I want to, just for the sake of time, read a few verses of Scripture, and then we'll be preaching from Psalm 42 and 43. The Bible said in Psalm 42, verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day." Verse 5 is my text this morning. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Amen. Pray with me, would you please? Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here in the house of God. And I pray this morning, Lord, that some way, Lord, what you have conveyed to my heart as we've studied and prayed will be conveyed from this pulpit this morning to the hearts of your precious people. And Lord, I realize this morning, Lord, that you know what we need, even before we ask. But God, you said to ask. I do ask you to meet the needs of every heart this morning, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those that don't know you. I pray, Lord, for those that are carrying a heavy load. I pray, dear God, that some way today the load might be lifted, might be lightened. And I pray, Lord, that you'd save, and Lord, that you'd sustain your people that are saved. Strengthen them this day. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Lest I forget it, I'd like to mention this morning that Brother Steve is preaching in Bristol this morning at Steel Creek. I ask you to remember him in prayer. I meant to mention it a while ago when it just slipped my mind. Brother Steve is a great blessing to this pastor and to this church. He does a lot of things in the shadows that nobody knows about, but God knows. There'll be a reward one day after a while. As I look at the message today, I'm dealing with the thought, why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down? We're headed into a season that is supposed to be like a season of celebration, a season of festivity, and yet God has made it so real in my heart that so many hearts will be heavy throughout this season. And I'm not going to go into all the reasons, but just think for a moment, beloved, about what some will be facing this holiday season. I know that you look at this text, this is written, most believe, by a man after God's own heart, by David, the man of God, the man that knew the Lord, the man that knew what it was to serve God, the man that knew what it was to love God. And yet he came to a place in his life, this should encourage every one of us, where he has to look in the mirror and say, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" We're singing about Christmas, we're singing about the birth of Christ and thinking about the gift of God, which is eternal life. And yet, beloved, there'll be a struggle. In the onset of the message, I want to give you something. First of all, I want you to remember this. When you're struggling, you're never alone. There's somebody walking in those shoes. There's somebody that knows what you're going through. The Word of God said that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible also said that He's able to succor or to comfort those that are in any trouble. And here we find in the setting in Psalm 42 that it was a time in David's life when he was prevented from returning to the sanctuary, from returning to Jerusalem. It's one of two thoughts that could be taking place. It could be when Absalom, his son, revolted against him, and David was not able to return to Jerusalem and return to the house of God. It also could have been that time when Saul was hunting him like a dog, amen, and trying to kill him. But he was not able to get to Jerusalem, not able to get to the house of God. I think one of the reasons, excuse me, we've been out in the air a lot, but one of the reasons I believe that the Lord has birthed this in my heart came out of last night when there's so many that are unable to go to the house of God. But as I prayed and sought God's face early this morning, God reminded me of something. He reminded me there'll be people sitting right in this auditorium. Beloved, though that you're still able to go through the house of God, there's a heaviness. There's a weight. There's something going on in your heart and in your life that only God can help you with. As much as pastor would like to pick it up and carry it, take it off of you, there's only one that can help you, and that is the Lord. Think about this. I read this. One of England's finest preachers was C.H. Spurgeon. You've heard of him, surely. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Frequently during his ministry, he was plunged into severe depression, due in part to gout, but also for other reasons. In a biography of the Prince of Preachers, Arnold Delamore, he wrote this, "What he suffered in those times of darkness we may not know. Even his desperate calling on God brought no relief." This is what he said. "There are dungeons," he said, "beneath the castles of despair." I'm telling you, beloved, this Christmas season, there are dungeons beneath the castles of despair. There are people that are struggling. I look out there and I see faces that you have children that are struggling. They don't really know which way to turn right now. And there are moms, there are dads, there are mamas, there are papas that are facing things that we know not about. I thought this was interesting. Just trying to give you, listen, the old devil will jump up there and say, if you're crying out, why art thou cast down, O my soul? What's wrong with you? I'm trying to tell you there's a man after God's own heart, David. I'm trying to tell you the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, faced these things in his life. Listen to this. Many years ago, a Midwestern lawyer, he suffered from deep depression that his friends thought it best to keep all the knives and razors out of his reach. He questioned his life calling and the prudence of even attempting to follow it through. During this time, he wrote, "I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. I awfully forebode I shall not. But somehow, somewhere, Abraham Lincoln received the encouragement he needed, and the achievements of his life were thoroughly vindicated, his bout with discouragement." I'm trying to tell you this morning, beloved, that good men and good women and good boys and good girls, godly people, face what David is talking about here in this chapter. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? I want to just give you three simple thoughts in the message today. First of all, there's someone that is miserable. David is in a miserable state in this chapter. He is miserable. And I believe with all of my heart it's important for us to realize, beloved, he's a miserable man. And he's going through things that only God knows, amen, what's going on in his heart.
I'll give you some things here that I believe that are pertaining to his misery. Number one, he's being pursued by the enemy. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with me? I'm going to tell you something right now. There's not one of God's youngins in this house today that's not being pursued by the enemy. I'm telling you, he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And right now, you may have no idea about the heaviness and the weight that I'm talking about, but one phone call before dark can change all of that. Are you listening to me today? I'm telling you, beloved, David, this man after God's own heart, he's being pursued by the enemy. And then look at this. He's being taunted by the enemy. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I'll show you. Look in verse number 3. He said, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? He's being taunted by the enemy. Where's your God? He's one that's played the harp. He's one that sang the praises. He's the one that danced in the street. Amen. And they're saying, where's your God now? Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. We may not have an enemy standing in front of us in the flesh, but we have an enemy that knocks on our heart's door every once in a while, sits on our shoulder. We're going through this, going through that, and our family's going through this and going through that. And I'm telling you, that old slew foot will say, where's your God now? Amen. Where is that God of love? Where is that God of grace? Where is that God that promised to meet your needs according to his riches and glory? I'll tell you where he is. He's still sitting on the throne, right where he always has been. But he's being taunted by the enemy. Not only being pursued by the enemy and being taunted by the enemy, but he's being influenced by the enemy. You say, Pastor, a man after God's own heart can be influenced by the enemy? I'll let you in on a little secret. Your pastor can be influenced by the enemy. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's times that I've come to this pulpit and I had to fight it with everything in me to keep from getting in the flesh. Somebody say amen. And saying something that didn't need to be said. I've got flesh. You've got flesh. And that enemy, beloved, listen, will taunt us and he will try his best to influence us. He would like nothing more than for me to ruin the ministry that God has put me in. He'd like nothing more than to tear this church apart by his influence. You say, Pastor, how do you know he influenced David? Look in verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? You say, Pastor, he's cast down. Look at verse 6. O my God, my soul is cast down. Look at verse number 11. Why art thou cast down? Look at verse 43 and verse number 5. Why art thou cast down? I'm telling you, beloved, the enemy was having an influence on David's life. Someone is miserable. Now listen to me. Listen to me well. I believe with all my heart, David is in a strait. He's in a miserable place. But we're going to find out in the message today that David turned to the right place for help. Beloved, I'm not criticizing medicine, but I'm going to tell you something. The medicine that we need, the great physician has to give us today. He can help us when nobody else can. Amen. Someone is miserable. The second thing that I see, something is missing. You say, Pastor, what has brought about this in David's life? I want you to think about this. You're here today. Many are not able to be here today. Some chose not to be here today. Did you hear what I said? Many are not able to be here today. Some chose not to be here today. And there is a difference. There's a huge difference. But those of us that are here today, we ought to see this point right here in the message and determine by the grace of God, as long as I'm able, Lord, I'm going to find my way to the house of God. Watch what the Bible said here in verse number 4, I believe it is. He said here, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul, for I had gone with the multitude. You say, Pastor, what's missing in David's life? Jerusalem. What's missing in David's life? Worship. What's missing in David's life? The house of God. What's missing in David's life? Singing the songs of Zion and praising God. You say, Pastor, surely it's not all that important. That's about the way the average Christian in America looks at it. Say amen. It is important, amen? That's why God said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another even so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen to me. You say, you don't think we have an enemy in America? I watched Senator Kennedy out of Louisiana. I watched him interviewing as they were vetting someone for a position in the government, and she's out of California. And I watched him ask this question. He said, how come, I'm paraphrasing now, that it was against the law for even small groups to meet inside of a home and worship in California? Said, how come? Said, well, we didn't go against it if they did it outside, but we were against small groups worshiping inside. And then he said this, then how come they were still allowed to go to the strip clubs? Amen. You don't think we have an enemy? You don't think, beloved, listen, there's people in this country that would just soon shut this church down and every other church just like it. You don't think, beloved, they hate this book? They hate our God? They hate the Holy Ghost? They hate the truth? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there's a generation, beloved, listen, that needs to raise up and say, listen, by the grace of God, I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. I'm going to be faithful. There was something missing in his life. I want to give you this, and I'm closing with this. Several things here to share with you, but there's a strength that's manifested in these two chapters here, in chapter 42 and chapter number 43. And this is really what I was wanting to get to. There's something missing. There's someone that's miserable. But I'll tell you what, remember what Paul said? He said, in my weakness, said his strength is made perfect. There's some people, by the way, they're ashamed to admit they're weak. What we ought to do is run to the throne of God and say, oh God, I'm weak. You say, Pastor, I've never seen anything I couldn't handle. Well, I have. Say amen. There's people say, oh, you just use Jesus as a crutch. Honey, I don't care if you want to call him a crutch or a wheelchair or whatever. He carries me at times in my life when I can't even walk on my own. Not ashamed of that. You say, Pastor, how is that strength manifested? If you will, look in chapter 43 and verse number 2. David said, for thou art the God of my strength. You know what we need when we're weak? We need his strength. The Bible said here, why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. I'm going to give you three or four different things right here quickly, and we'll be finished this morning. Where does that strength come from? In chapter 42 and verse number 2, he said, my soul thirsteth for God. Let me give you something. I believe if the day comes, and I believe, Brother Aaron, this is part of what we saw last night. Though they know, Brother Gale Gardner, I'll just give you this. We talked about moments that stuck out in the 4 hours to us last night. Brother Gale, I'm not exaggerating, it took him 2 or 3 minutes to get vertical and to get a hold of his walker. And he turned around to the door and so help me, Brother Wade. It scared me to death. He was coming out. That step's that high going up into his house. But it was in his heart. He forgot for just a minute that he can't even walk, let alone make a step. Amen. He was so encouraged beloved, listen, loving the people that were on the outside and the pastor, that he wanted to come out there and be with us. You say, Preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say in the message here, there's one thing that Brother Gale has not lost. He's lost his legs. He's lost his strength. But he's not lost his thirst. He's not lost his thirst. He's not lost his thirst for the things of God and for the house of God. His son David was standing there with me. And before it was over with, he said to start with, Brother Rick, I'll never be able to come back to church. And before it's over with, Brother Wade, he said, well, maybe maybe Brother David, maybe David can bring me over one day. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, though his body is broken down, there's a thirst on the inside for the house of God and the things of God. How do we get strength? Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Oh, beloved, listen, he not only did he not lose his thirst, but he didn't lose his tears. Look in verse number 3. He said, my tears have been my meat day and night. How many tears last night, youngins, did we see well up in people's eyes? Brother Joe, over and over. I bet he said it 4 or 5 times. Youngins, why don't you just come in? Why don't you just come in? Why don't you just come in? Brother Aaron said this morning, Sunday school said, I believe he wanted to give us something to drink, something to eat. He wanted us to come in. Amen. And we didn't deem that was the right thing to do. But I'm telling you, it was in his heart. Why? Because there's still that thirst. His health is broken. He's fallen flat and scratched his glasses up and things like that. But he's still got that thirst for the things of God. He's 94 years old. And I told the young people last night as we stood on his back porch, I pray to God that every one of you still wants Jesus like this man when you're 94. Years old, amen. The tears. Oh, beloved, listen. David said this over there in the book of Psalm 27, verse number 13. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Beloved, listen. David knew that he was a goner unless he could trust God. He could trust God through it all. In Psalm 56, the Bible said, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. I'm going to tell you something, beloved, right now. You want to make it? When your soul is cast down, you're going to need strength. You're going to need strength from above. And then I want you to see this. This is very important. A strength is manifested because there's a thirst, there's tears, but there's the truth. Look in chapter 43 and verse number 3. The Word of God said, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Beloved, listen to me. Everybody hear what I'm about to say right now. When we're in a time of discouragement, a time of despair, or even a time of depression, there's the temptation to believe a lie. And what we need more than anything during that time, Brother Ralph, you just said that's right. I'm not picking on you, but I know what you and Michelle have been through. And you can't tell me that old enemy didn't say at times, what's the use? Don't go back. Don't ever sing another song. Don't ever shout. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the enemy will lie to us. Amen. He'll try to drag us down when God wants to lift us up. We need that strength, and it'll come through the truth. The Bible said here, I want you to listen. I never caught this before. In chapter 42 and verse number 5, it talks about the help of his countenance. In other words, he said here, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He was able to get in the presence of God, and God's countenance helped him. But I want you to see this. I think it's important. Chapter 42 and verse number 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Watch this now. Who is the health? The help of his countenance will bring about health in my countenance. That's what it says right there in the Word of God, beloved. We need that. Amen. Who is the health of my countenance and my God? And you look over here in verse number 5 of chapter 43. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. We need that glow back. You can't get that glow from pastor. You can't get that glow. Young people, you can't get it from mom and dad. Mom and Dad, you can't get it from each other. Bible Way Baptist Church, we can't get that glow from each other. But if we'll get in His presence, we can get that glow back, amen, in our lives. And we can have that praise on our lips, even unto our God. Why are they cast down? We see this here. You say, Pastor, what do you mean the truth is so important? Well, look if you will. The Bible said here, when shall I come and appear before God? You see that in verse 2? When shall I come and appear before God? I want to show you a man that's in distress. A man that is cast down. Beloved, a man that is borderline here. He's questioning some things. He said, when? He said, when shall I come and appear before God? Well, the same psalmist, the same man wrote these words. Thou hast beset me, Psalm 139:5, behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand, the Bible said, shall hold me. You see, the psalmist was seeing clearly in Psalm 139, but he was not seeing clearly in Psalm 42, and therefore he was in a place of distress. In a place of despair. Where are you, Lord? My soul panteth after God. When shall I come before His presence? Oh, beloved friend, thank God He is our God. Thank God He didn't give up on David. Look at verse number 9. I'm talking about the truth now. We're prone to believe a lie. When we're in a place like this in our life, we're prone to believe a lie. The Word of God said, why art thou cast down? Look in verse number 9. The Word of God said here, I will say unto the God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? I promise you, the enemy will jump up on somebody's shoulder through this wonderful, glorious, festive season and say, your God has forgotten you. David said, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You say, Pastor, what's the Bible say about that? Here's the truth. Amos said, the Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Let me tell you something right now. God had not forgotten David. What God did was have David under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to write these words down so Charles Spurgeon would know he's not the first one that's been in a place of despair. So you and I would know that we can hope in God when we're in that place of despair. Watch this now. Amos 8 and 7. Look at Luke 12, 6 and 7. Listen to what the Bible said. You remember these words. Are there not five sparrows? Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. That's what the Word of God said. The enemy will try to make you believe you've been forgotten. And the Word of God said, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. God said, I've not forgotten one sparrow, and you're more important to me than many sparrows. Beloved, you're not forgotten. God knows where you are. God knows what you're going through, and God knows that His strength can be manifested in your weakness. Look at chapter 43 and verse number 2. He asked this question, why dost thou cast me off? You see that right there? Well, let me read you the truth. We've read the question. Let's read the truth. Leviticus 26 and 44. And yet for all that, when they had been in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away. Neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord, their God. Job 8:20 said this, Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers. Listen to Psalm 94 and verse number 14. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. David's asking questions because the enemy has been able to sow doubt in his heart concerning the truth of God's word. Where does David find his help? He finds it in the truth. He said in verse 3, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. The last thing I'll give you under this strength that's manifested, not only is there a thirst, there are tears, there's the truth. But thank God, there's a triumph. David wins this battle. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Look in verse number 4 of chapter 43. Then will I go unto the altar of God. Let me say this. This makes all the difference in the world. Some people in that time of despair, they go away from the altar of God. Other people run to the altar of God. And David knew, beloved, if he was going to win, that he couldn't do it apart from seeking the face of God and going to the altar. He said, Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I will praise thee, O God, my God. Paul said it like this, Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, beloved, I know in my heart that there's heaviness many times in the hearts of God's people. And I know sometimes to the point of despair. And I know the enemy is very real. But I also know this. He's a liar and the father of a lie. We need to believe God. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I close with this. During the 30 Years' War in the 17th century, a German pastor, Paul Gerhardt, and his family were forced to flee from their home. One night as they stayed in a small village inn, homeless and afraid, his wife broke down and cried openly in despair. To comfort her, Pastor Gerhardt reminded her of the scripture promises about God's provision and keeping. Then going out to the garden to be alone, he too broke down and wept. He felt he had come to his darkest hour. Soon afterward, Pastor Gerhard felt the burden lifted and sensed anew the Lord's presence. Taking his pen, he wrote a hymn that has brought comfort to many. Give to the winds thy fears, hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time, so shall the night soon end in joyous day. It is often in our darkest times that God makes his presence known most clearly. He uses our sufferings and troubles to show us he is our only source of strength. And when we see this truth, like Pastor Gerhard, we receive new hope. Are you facing a great trial? Take heart. Put yourself in God's hands. Wait for his timing. He will give you a song in the night. I believe that. Amen. I believe that. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Brother Aaron encouraged our teenagers this morning with the scripture from John 13 where Jesus said, love one another. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. There's two kinds of people in this church today. I'm not talking about saved and lost right now. But there are people that are carrying a heavy burden. And there are people that right now, they don't have a heavy burden. God's been good. The family's healthy. You still have your spouse. Your children are serving God. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You say, Pastor, what good would a message like this do for those that don't have a heavy burden? Anybody know what Galatians 6 says? Anybody know what it says? You know, Brother Junior? Bear you one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. That means, Brother Wayne, if I'm getting along good, you carrying something heavy, I'll both get in there with you. Help you bear that burden. God help us if we're so selfish that we can't even look around and see that somebody else is carrying a load. Amen. Do you know it might just be a text message? It might just be a simple little note on a postcard that make all the difference in the world. Because the enemy says, you're forgotten. But you know what God said? He's lying. God knows where you are. God knows what you need. And I believe, Brother Grizzle, if we need anything in this day and time, I said we, not you, brother, we, the church, we need to be more sensitive. I'm going to tell you something right now. Ain't nothing on that television going to cause you to be more sensitive to God. Ain't nothing on that radio going to cause you to be more sensitive to God. But if we'd get in that book, and we'd get on our knees and pray, I believe God would touch our hearts at times and say, Sister so-and-so's having a rough day. Why don't you call her? Brother so-and-so's having a rough day. Why don't you call him? You believe that, Preston? I do too, brother. But I believe where we're at, especially this time of year, we're running too fast. We're running right by the greatest blessings. Yeah. Running right by them. Wide open. Got somewhere to go. Something to do. And I know we got to do those things. But I tell you something, we need to slow down a little bit. Somebody, beloved, needs a little encouragement. Amen. And the Spirit of God will speak to our heart if we'll slow down and ask Him. Amen. You remember the thank you card from Brother Les last week? That man was overwhelmed. I don't know how many sent cards. I could ask for a show of hands, but I won't do that. But evidently there was enough in the mailbox. He was overwhelmed that God's people was thinking about him, that God's people was praying for him. Amen. And I believe with all my heart, it's much better to be overwhelmed with God's goodness than it is to be overwhelmed. Get to the place where you have to say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for David. Lord, he's a blessing to us. Glad, Lord, you recorded not only the stories about Goliath, but the story, Lord, about the man of God in a time of despair. Lord Jesus, I pray in this invitation. I pray for that one, Lord, that doesn't know you. Lord, we got young people that are coming, and I know, Lord, that you know, and I know they know where they stand with God. I pray, Lord, that maybe they'd experience Christmas, the gift of God, eternal life, sins forgiven, their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, sealed by the Spirit of God till the day of redemption. I pray, Father, for those that do know you. Those that the enemy has already, Lord, jumped upon their shoulder, tried to whisper in their ear things that are just not true. Help us, Lord, to get in the truth. Deliver us, our Father, from this discouragement, from this despair, from this despondency. God, it can even turn into depression. I pray, dear Father, that you'd help us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.